Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching entitled Hebrews Highlights was recorded at our 2008 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
Jesus even said this in Matthew chapter 11, I believe it's verse 11 or 12. He said, "Among them that is born of women, there hath never risen a greater than John the Baptist." That means John the Baptist was greater than Moses, greater than Elijah, greater than Abraham, greater than David, greater than anybody. And yet it goes on to say, "Nevertheless, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist." John the Baptist wasn't a New Testament saint. He was before the New Covenant was put into effect. He was the greatest person that ever lived under the Old Covenant. And yet, if you are the sorriest saint in this room, if you are the least victorious Christian that has ever lived, you're greater than John the Baptist, greater than Moses, greater than Elijah. What you have on the inside of you is greater than what any Old Testament person has ever had. Man, that's good news. And brothers and sisters, that's true. That's what the Bible says. And yet, some of you sorry saints in here are depressed and discouraged and feeling like you're just missing out and always begging God for more, and yet Moses would have given everything he had to have your sorry state. You know what that means? That means that most of us don't really know what we've got and aren't taking full advantage of what we've got. But according to Scripture, what you have is greater than what Moses had, Elijah, or any of these people. It's not that God hasn't done His part. It's that we are ignorant. We don't know what we've got. God's people are perishing for a lack of knowledge. That's what I'm trying to teach on. I know that this is more technical than what a lot of people want. You know, I talked to two or three people this morning who were telling me that they used to pass me by on television and just pass by because I'm boring. I'm just sitting there. I'm not screaming. I don't spit. I don't scream. I don't have a towel wiping my fevered brow. And they just said, "You're boring." And then the Holy Spirit made them stop, and they got to listening and found out that the Word was setting them free. Most people, amen. Most people want to be entertained. I actually had a friend one time who got up and he realized that his church was just religious. That it wasn't godly, it was just religious. And so he was Pentecostal. He was United Pentecostal is what his church was. And he got up and he quoted, "Mary had a little lamb. Its fleece was white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go." He quoted that, but he did it in Pentecostal style. He got up shouting, "Mary had a little lamb." And boy, people started running and jumping and they were rolling on the floor. And they were, man, people were just on the floor shaking and bouncing. And he quoted, "Mary had a little lamb." And when he got through, he says, "You bunch of religious hypocrites." He says, "I quoted a nursery rhyme and you are running the aisles." It's just religious. It's emotional. It's true. David and I were just at a church in South Africa. They prided themselves on being non-religious. They hated religion. But they were religious. They had a different style. It wasn't Pentecostal style. It was just a different style. And I mean, this guy, you had to talk to him. And he, "Are you listening?" And I mean, these people were just talking constantly. And he was saying nothing. And they were exciting and shouting. And I was sitting there thinking, I know I'm not an idiot. I know I'm thinking. And yet this guy hadn't said anything. And everybody's just shouting and running the aisles. And it was just a religious deal. Most people are wanting to be entertained. So this may not be real entertaining to you, but it's the truth. And you need to hear the truth. It's the truth that's going to set you free. So in verse 11, it says, "For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious." If the Old Testament was great so that you could see the miracles that happened under the Old Covenant, how much greater is the New Covenant that we've got? In verse 12, "Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ." Boy, that is a mouthful. I wished I had time to preach on just... this is not part of what I was wanting to say, but this is great. Wished I had time to explain that, but basically it's just talking about that as long as a person is under the law, a legalist, thinking that they have to earn the favor of God by their performance, it blinds you from seeing the truth in the Word of God. Legalism makes you spiritually retarded. That's what it does. It just blinds you to the message of grace that is so prevalent in the Old Testament. And it says in verse 15, "But even unto this day when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face..." Talking about the veil being removed. Remember that the veil was Christ and the veil has been rent in two from the top to the bottom. Now we can go directly into the very presence of God. And when the veil is rent, when you understand that Jesus paid for it, it's by the blood of Jesus that you enter into the holiest. When that happens, when the veil, we with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Most people interpret that we are changed from glory to glory in steps and in stages. I'm getting a little more glorious all of the time. What this is talking about is that we are changed from the Old Testament glory into the New Testament glory. It's not talking about a progressive step. You could use other scriptures to make that point and say that we do renew our mind and grow in the Lord. But this is talking about that we have moved from the glory of the Old Covenant into the glory of the New Covenant through Jesus, and the Old Covenant is gone over, done with. It was a ministration of death, it says in verse 7. In verse 9, it calls the Old Testament a ministration of condemnation. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation." We have been removed from condemnation.
Amen.
So all of this comes from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 20. That we have a new and living way. Why would we want something old and dead and condemning? Well, the reason it was so hard for me to get free from it is because I was raised this way. And my mother and my father and my brother and my sister and all of my friends and everybody I loved and respected lived this way. And it was just so hard to break with tradition. But this is what the Bible is saying. We have a new and living way. Some of you are probably thinking, I'm taking this and making more out of it than what the Bible intends. But I tell you, this is consistent with the book of Hebrews. I wish I had time to teach the whole book. But this is the point that he's... Let me real quickly just go back and start making some of these points in the book of Hebrews. Turn back to the first chapter. The whole book of Hebrews is to transition you from the Old Testament way to the new way that came through Christ. It's to show the superiority of Christ and to move you away from Moses and the law and trying to earn the favor of God into entering into the holy by the blood of Jesus through a new and living way that He has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. So it starts off in Hebrews chapter 1 by saying, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners, that just means different times and in different ways, spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. And he begins to start talking about how that Jesus is superior to every other way that God ever communicated. The Old Testament law was given by angels. There were angels that were involved with Moses. The Lord said, I'll send an angel before you and I'll prepare the way. And angels were directly involved. And the Old Testament law was communicated by angels. And so the first chapter is showing that Jesus is far, far, far superior to the angels. Again, I'm just going to have to skim through this, but then look in verse 4. It says, He being made so much better than the angels, as He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said He at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. That was a quotation from Psalms chapter 2, verse 7. Psalms 2, 7 says, I have sworn and will not repent. Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. And then Paul quoted that in Acts chapter 13 and in verse 33. And he said this scripture was fulfilled when Jesus was raised from the dead. So it wasn't talking about the birth of Jesus through Mary. It was talking about his rebirth when he got born again from the dead. That's what that verse is referring to. And Paul revealed that in Acts 13, 33. So this is what it's referring to, that Jesus was called his son and he has an inheritance that's greater than any angel because he's a son. He's not a created being. He was the son. And then in verse 8 it says, But unto the son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. That's a quotation from Psalms chapter 45 and verse 6. And over there it says, God said, Thy throne, O God. Boy, there is so much in these verses. I don't want to get bogged down and so that I don't make my deal, but boy, that is awesome. If any of you have ever wondered about, you know, there's some people that challenge Jesus and say, well, he was a great man, but he wasn't God. This right here is an Old Testament scripture where God said, Thy throne, O God, is forever. God called Jesus God.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the book of Hebrews. This teaching series was recorded at our 2008 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for CD series R1061C or DVD series R3206D when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The second CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RK-153 titled, The Law Has Power, when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111, and our web address is awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
You know, I'm really limited in trying to get my point across. You need to hear this in its entirety. That's why I'm advertising the materials that we're offering. But also our website is a great place for you to go and get much more teaching on this. We have television programs, radio programs right there that you can view and listen to on our website. I have hundreds of my teachings available as free downloads. I have my Bible commentary available on the website. We've just got a wealth of information, so please check it out. And I believe that you'll find it to be one of the best websites out there.